Welcome to the IBJ Podcast. I'm Mason King. At the moment, we're headed into the thick of the 2018 election cycle, but some politicians already are looking ahead to 2019, and that includes Indianapolis's first-term mayor, Joe Hogsett, who has been in office about 32 months now. With me is Haley Colombo, who covers city government for the IBJ. Hey, Haley.
Hey, Mason.
It doesn't seem too early to ask the mayor if he plans on running again, so I take it that you asked him.
I did. I was at an interview with him earlier this week, and we were talking about his different plans and whatnot, different policy ideas, and just sort of eventually led to the inevitable question, are you running again?
We're going to run through the actual conversation today on the podcast, and I thought it was a really interesting exchange for reasons that might not pop out on the printed page. I thought the mayor's tone was really revealing, and I thought his answers, and this is kind of a weird construction, just follow me on this, were a bit indistinct and general in ways that I think you could argue reflect his tenure as mayor, and some of the criticisms, at least, levied against the mayor. So we'll see how that goes. But first off, set the scene for us. Where are you for this?
The 25th floor of the City County Building in the mayor's conference room. This is, so his, you know, sort of office suite is on this floor, and this is the room that we take a lot of different meetings in terms of a monthly sort of media sit down with the mayor. It's a nice big conference room and has a great view of the city.
Who else was in the room?
Deputy Mayor Jeff Bennett. Mackenzie Higgins, who is a policy person at the mayor's office, and Taylor Schaefer, who is the mayor's spokeswoman.
Okay. And again, you were there also that you talked to talk in some depth about some other issues. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. I was there to talk about things that we may have coming up in the IBJ.
we can tell people.
We've been doing a... as we discussed on the podcast a couple weeks ago, we've been doing a series about poverty. So that's the reason I was there to ask him about poverty. And that was a really fascinating conversation just about sort of his personal story and what he's witnessed. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with the readers and listeners in the coming weeks.
Let's get right to it. You ask him the question of the day.
Will you run for office again, or will you run for re-election?
I haven't made a final decision, and probably will sometime this year.
So what are you weighing?
Well, I think it's a level of comfort that... much remains to be done, and how willing both me and my family are in committing to being personally responsible for another 4 years, because I know I can continue to help in whatever capacity.
Okay, so first off, it doesn't sound like he's made up his mind.
It certainly did not seem like that. Okay. Although there are, of course, political strategies and not necessarily announcing right away that you're running for re-election, because then everything gets framed in the, you know, in that framework of a campaign. So I don't know, but it definitely sounds like he's undecided.
Yeah. I'm going to try to rein in my usual bent for psychoanalyzing somebody based on a very small snippet of information, but he sounds tired.
Yeah, I sort of got that. I got that impression.
And also, there's a very long pause that I saw was interesting. For a politician to take such a long pause to sort of calculate what he's going to say next to that kind of question, I thought was weird. Did you have a sense of kind of what was going through his mind at that time? I know I'm asking you to be a mind reader.
I definitely don't want to be a mind reader. I think the mayor's staff, does their job in coaching him on, sort of what to say in these instances. And I think sometimes they're frustrated because he seems to just sort of say what he wants.
Well, he's not the only politician that does that. How would you say he is different, if at all, from when he took office 32 months ago?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know that he's necessarily different. I think that the staff, you know, the most of the staff, I mean, is still there. It's the same team with him. He seems to have the same sort of priorities as he's had when he first ran. I think that really pervasive challenges that the city has gone through, the same challenges that the city had when he was running, are the same challenges the city has now. I mean, he cares a lot about crime and public safety. Like, that's his background. He's obviously a politician, but it does seem like he genuinely gets upset when there are homicides and whatnot, and clearly that's been a continuing problem. Obviously, that's a political problem, but I do think he, like, feels that as a personal problem. So I don't know whether it's the type of thing where, you know, it seems like the same challenges that were sort of there when he started remain in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get to some of those, too, here in a little bit. So let's move on to his next comment.
You know, I will say this. I am pleased, maybe not across the board, but because I don't sit around with a pad of paper and check boxes. But when I think back on what we talked about in the context of the 2015 campaign, I have a hard time identifying, although Taylor probably could right now, I have a hard time identifying any one single thing that we talked about that we have not at least started. In other words, promises that we made to the people that these are the things that we're going to work on. I am hard-pressed to think of a single thing, not that we're done, you know, with all of them. We've just begun some of them. But I can't think of a single thing that we have not at least begun.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Is that generally true? Have they at least started on the initiatives that they talked about in the campaign?
I would say that that is true, yes. Based on if you go to his campaign website and sort of look at, which is still up, pretty sure it's just joehogsett.com, you go to like his vision for mayor. It seems like when you look back at all that stuff, it doesn't seem like, oh, totally random stuff that he just talked about in the campaign. It does seem like that a lot of that stuff has come to pass. Like he mentions, you know, starting a summer jobs program for teens. That is something that they continue to sort of beef up every year. They're working on a, you know, homeless housing. They're working on, you know, demolishing or rehabbing homes. There's, you know,
Vacant homes specifically.
Vacant homes, yeah. Or just homes in disrepair. So, and I mean, the criminal justice reform sort of piece of things.
Yeah, that's right. The Criminal Justice Center, which kind of famously, the deal fell apart for what used to be the GM stamping plant site under the Ballard administration, seems to have taken root so far in the Twin Air neighborhood.
Yes.
And they've made a good amount of progress so far. Is that right?
The council has approved like various pieces of it. I think there's still more money or parts of it that will come before the council, but it seems like they just had a groundbreaking for it, and like the Republicans were there being supportive and Democrats were there being supportive. Like that is definitely one area that Hogsett succeeded where Mayor Ballard arguably failed.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like a cornerstone of the campaign was to be a tightwad, essentially. I mean, I don't think it's going too far to say that was the image.
No, I mean, stinky shoes. Hogsett, you know, they're doing sort of a right-sizing initiative where they're like not really, you know, backfilling certain positions or, you know, when there's attrition.
In city government.
They're, considering whether it might be feasible to, you know, sell the city-county building. You know, in terms of budgeting, they're pretty big sticklers on that. So that is certainly a campaign element that has continued.
Okay. So where are the knocks right now on the administration?
The thing I hear from sort of the left wing is that, or, you know, just more liberal people, is that they sort of wish he'd be a little bit more, like, out in front of some different issues.
And just to be clear, I mean, I don't think we said this. He is a Democrat.
Yeah. So I think that there's, you know, there's some people who wish he was a little bit more forceful and in leading on certain issues that are important to Democrats. I think that seems to come across to me in conversations I have with folks. I think.
What kind of issues would those be?
I think people were sort of surprised and continue to be surprised that he doesn't necessarily take positions on things that you would think that a mayor would take a position on. Like, he didn't take a position on the transit referendum. That was something even the Indy Chamber supported. You know, like, when the Chamber of Commerce is coming out for a tax increase, it seems like a pretty comfortable thing. Like, you're not really sticking your neck out that much to also endorse it. But again, then that gets back to his, like, budget sticklerness. You know, he doesn't like tax increases, that he's not shy about that. So, but there's certain things like that.
We talked a little bit about the homicide rate. The infrastructure question, I mean, talk about something that was a hot issue when he was elected, and then, and just this year, I mean, just threatened to blow up.
Yeah.
You know, streets, sidewalks, and bridges. A lot of people are upset about that.
Clearly, this pothole season was not ideal. It was not ideal for drivers. It was not ideal for the people at the city government in terms of how it appeared or politics or any of that. I think that there are clearly some infrastructure funding issues that seem like they're, you know, not really his fault. We just don't have. I mean, the state was dealing with this too. The state raised taxes because they didn't have enough infrastructure dollars. Like, we have aging infrastructure as a wider community. The entire nation is dealing with an aging infrastructure, and there aren't a lot of public dollars to do things on that. So when you're the mayor, that falls on you.
And another persistent issue that we obviously at the IBJ look at pretty closely, because it's almost literally next door, is Circle Center Mall, which has, you know, fallen into some disrepair. It certainly is not kind of the fresh retailing face that many of us would want it to be after, I think, 22 years or so. And the city, I think, has taken some knocks about its leadership on that front.
I think that's true. I think some of those knocks are from the IBJ editorial board.
They are. We'll get to that in a second. I have a whole soliloquy about this. So let's get on to this next section of the interview.
I guess I would be convinced to maybe seriously think about running for re-election if I saw an additional 4 years as an opportunity to continue the work to see those things. Again, maybe not even after 4 years will they be, you know, done. But to advance them to greater maturity than they currently exist, that would probably go a long way toward convincing me that doing it again, running again, if the people want me to serve, that's up to them. But that's the level of decision-making that I would engage in. It's a decision that has to be made this year, and I would anticipate at some point, sometime later in the year, making it.
Okay, so here's where I go out on a little bit of a limb. So this answer kind of meanders a little bit. And I think it's interesting that, at least in this portion of the interview, he really hasn't mentioned any specific initiatives or vision for the city. Now, did that come earlier in the interview?
Yes, we were talking in the context of talking about poverty. They were, you know, he was talking about several different initiatives that sort of fall under that umbrella.
Okay. Well, at this point in the interview that I was listening to, I began to think about this persistent criticism that we hear and that we've already talked a little bit about, that he's not been a particularly forceful leader. And again, not to be super coy about it, the IBJ's editorial board has sounded this concern several times. Just last month, we ran an editorial saying that he should be leading the strategy to rethink the design of Interstate 65 and 70, that split downtown. In January, we ran an editorial saying that he should have taken a more forceful stance against that brief coup that occurred in the Democratic leadership of the City County Council. The editorial board has criticized the administration for not pushing harder on the renovation of Circle Center Mall, which is a public-private venture for folks who are not familiar with it. And we criticized his tepid stance on the transit tax back in 2006. So again, is this just the elite brain trust of the IBJ, or is this a criticism that you see out on the street?
I definitely think there are folks who want him to be more out front on some of these issues, like especially on the transit tax issue. You know, that there are issues that could really use the benefit of the bully pulpit. And if it's your issue, of course you want the mayor to be out in front on it. You know, if it's an issue you care about, you want, you know, the person with the most clout or the biggest microphone to be forceful on it. So I think, you know, I think all mayors have to be somewhat judicious about how they use that. But I do think, that there's an open question as to, you know, whether or not he's used it enough on some of these different issues.
Okay, let's move on to his next point, which is about the obligation that he feels to serve the political process and make a timely decision about running again.
There's an obligation you have if you happen to decide not to run again, that you let people know so that, I mean, that's not going to affect my friends on the other side of the political aisle, but it certainly would affect the party that that I belong to.
Okay, so do we know who his potential challengers are in 2019?
It seems like, I mean, obviously there always could be like a primary challenger to the mayor, but it doesn't seem like anyone at this point is going to really go out on a limb to challenge him. That anyone very like well-funded and serious would do that at this point, that he seems pretty safe from his own party perspective. Mm-hmm. On the Republican side, of course, they're going to, you know, they're trying to find someone to run against him. I think a lot of people have speculated it may be State Senator Jim Merritt, who's the Marion County GOP chairman. He seems like he could do that. When I asked him about this the other day, he said he was focusing on his reelection to the state Senate, which is, he didn't rule it out though. Then there's that question of, do you want to get an outsider? That didn't really work for them last time though. Chuck Brewer in 2015, I mean, pretty much got creamed by Mayor Hogsett. So I don't know, do they go for some sort of outsider, someone from the tech community, a business, you know, some sort of Mayor Ballard type person? I don't really know who that would be. Yeah.
So at this point, it seems like the field is pretty open.
Oh yeah. I don't think there's any definite GOP challenger.
Now let's see what the mayor says about how much he might enjoy the job.
I mean, obviously this is an every single day job, like just looking at your schedule with all the things that you do, but
it's the hardest job I've ever had.
Okay.
Without question.
Okay. And is there a sort of personal toll in terms of just the amount of, just the sheer amount of all-encompassingness that it is?
Yeah, that's unavoidable.
Gotcha.
That's unavoidable. And I say that with a great deal of confidence because I think any previous mayor would tell you the same thing. And not to, you know, give too much credibility to the office of mayor in the sense that, oh gosh, it's just so consuming. But the truth is, it's a blessing and a curse. Why do I say blessing and curse? It's a blessing because at local government, just like the conversation we've had today, even though things don't move as quickly as you want them to, local government remains, in my opinion, the only level of government that is nimble and responsive and creative today. I love Washington, D.C. I love to take my kids there to visit. Even state legislatures around the country find it difficult to remain nimble. I think, frankly, Indiana may be an exception to that. But it's at the local level where things really still get done because you have to put partisanship aside. People don't, you know, as we've said 100 times, there is no such thing as a Democratic pothole and a Republican pothole. It's a pothole. It's got to be fixed. That's the blessing. The curse is there's no distance, which actually is a blessing too. There's no distance between you and the people you are obligated to represent. And as a result, the accountability is immediate. And that, and long-winded way of saying, that kind of wears you down.
Okay, so at this moment, it doesn't sound like he's like really raring for 2020. Do we get him on a bad day?
I mean, that's always possible. He did not seem super excited about about another campaign.
I mean, we all, I think, have an idea of how difficult that job really is.
I mean, this is an everyday thing. And even looking at his public schedule, you know, public schedule, meaning not all the private meetings that he's in that they don't, you know, invite the media to. I just was looking at his schedule for Saturday, and he has 4 events before 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. For anybody to have that kind of job and not admit that it wears you down would be sort of crazy.
Right. And to not have that human sort of reaction to it, you would almost think, like, what's wrong with this guy that he's not tired? And when I spoke with Bart Peterson, former Democratic Mayor Bart Peterson, yesterday about this comment that Mayor Hogsett made, and Mayor Peterson essentially said, yeah, he agreed that it's a grind.
What do folks in the political establishment think? Is he going to run again?
It seems like, based on conversations I've had, that most people think he is going to run again. That they view it as more likely that he would run again.
Okay. And you were in the room. Do you have a takeaway? What do you think is going to happen?
I think, based on this interview, I really wouldn't be surprised either way. I feel very hesitant to make political predictions based on sort of the news media's proclivity to be wrong. So I guess maybe that's the easiest thing for me to say, is it could go either way.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for the interview.
Thank you.
And hey, we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
My thanks again to Haley Colombo. You can read more about Mayor Hogsett's record and get a sense of how Republicans are planning to oppose him in this week's IBJ. And sharing the front page with a Hogsett story is a terrific, in-depth look at the $19 million fraud perpetrated by former executives of American Senior Communities, and how that kickback scheme unraveled with the help of a local businessman. He was invited to join the fraud, but called the FBI instead. IBJ editor Greg Andrews has the story in glorious detail, including a backpack filled with $14,000 in cash, and a wiretapped conversation at a breakfast joint on North Meridian Street. Again, you can check it out in IBJ's print edition or at IBJ.com. For the IBJ podcast, I'm Mason King, and we'll be back next week.